Amen. Well, those of you that are visiting, we don't normally have three of us up here at this time, but wasn't that good? You know, it's health to us, right? It is recognizing what God is saying in the moment in there. And so if you want to just grab your Bibles and walk with me for a little while, we're going to go through, it's really Isaiah chapter 54. And it's something that I believe that when I was looking at this, and just hold it in Isaiah 54 in a second, and then go over with me as well over to Joshua chapter 1. So those two passages of scripture, and I will not be long here this morning, but I believe I will be concise here this morning with there. So here, let me just start in Joshua. You know the beginning of this. I won't read it all through, but I will. This is when everything begins to change. Joshua chapter 1. You realize that for these people, the children of God, there has been 400 years of bondage in there. There was, and now there's been 40 years of wandering around in the wilderness. Now, when somebody says to you at this moment and what is about to be said, you can see how difficult this would have been at this moment. Now, watch what happened and watch what's said in this. Verse number 10 from Joshua chapter 1. It says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the camp and command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go into the possession or to possess the land which the Lord God has given you to possess.'" Now, when I look at that word, realize these people have been living like this for 40 years. This is not just the fact that we've been through a little bit of a wilderness. Now this was a day and a half or a week and a half or 3 months. And then all of a sudden, so now is the time. Okay, so we're ready to go. We've been waiting for this. This is 40 years. So I want you to do something with me right now. I want you to think of your life 40 years ago. So for me, I was 12, okay, in this. 40 years ago. And that 40 years has passed by. Do you think you would have sort of forgotten things after a while in there? If something that I was told and that was expected when I was 12 years old, you realize how long they have been sitting and how long they have been in this wandering place. How long? Now, I know that the culture, and they would have continually told them of those things. They will have spoken of the miracles that God had did. They would have told them over and over again, but there wasn't much going on. There wasn't much at their own hands. They weren't seeing anything themselves that was happening. And then all of a sudden, Joshua says to basically his leaders, "Okay, go tell everybody we're going. And in 3 days, we're going." I tell you, to get up at that moment and to actually start to pack is a moment of faith. Because you got to realize that they would have been, "Well, I mean, I heard those stories for so long. Now? You sure it's now? You sure? You sure we don't have to wander around a little bit more? You sure?" But the word came to them in that moment. And I think that for all of us, have you ever been stuck somewhere so long that it's become home? Come on now. Have you ever been somewhere so long, stuck in a, whether it's a mindset or whether it's something where you didn't really expect to be here, you didn't expect this situation, you didn't expect whatever it would be, but it's been so long now you forgot how you even got there. That's what I'm talking about for these particular people in those situations. And there is a moment where they begin to say, "Okay, it's time. It's time to get up and it's time to go." I think for us, a couple of weeks ago now, I began to just show you the passage of scripture and give a prophetic word on the fact that it is the season that we're in right now is to basically begin to beat our plowshares into swords. And what that simply means is not talking about that we don't reap, that we're not expecting these things, but it's talking about recognizing the season that you're in and what is needed to see change come and to see shift come. And when I began to look and began to really, if you know me enough by now, I like fresh. Okay, I like fresh food. The only thing I like that's leftovers is something like lasagna or spaghetti. I mean, come on now, right? You know, in there. You get lasagna and it's been in the fridge for a few days afterwards. Why is it that it tastes almost better after it's been sitting there and soaking it up? And it's just, now all of you are like, I know this is not very smart to be preaching at 11:30 about this in there. But there's something. But I like fresh food. And even when I preach, I find it difficult, and I've said this different times, but I like a fresh manna word. And I find it difficult to preach something that I've preached before, but in this particular situation, I have wrestled with the Lord. I know enough that I don't know, there's not even any point in doing that most of the time, but some reason I still do that. Maybe you're all smarter than me, okay, in there. But finally you go, okay, Lord, this is what we'll do then. And so I have a message that I actually preached here in 2016 that I'd like to walk through with you very concisely to see. And I believe that the reason why the Lord is showing us this is because this is what we need to do right now. I like this. All these fingers are pointing back to me. So I'm not going to talk about what you need to do or what you need to think. I'm talking about me right now. If somebody says to me at a certain moment in my life, and maybe you've not been there, and this is going to sound strange to some of you, but just walk with me for a second. Someone says to me, for example, Pastor Rod, I have a prophetic word for you. And if they say, and if this word were to come to me, which it does, come to me, pack your bags, okay, in there. God has an adventure for you to begin to go on. Now, those of you that know me enough now, and you can remember there was a season for me, conference after conference after conference, the guest speaker would come in, would look over at me, and would say, Pastor Rod, I just see a suitcase. Pack your bags. God is doing something. There's an adventure that's going to begin to happen. And when I first got it, it was like, oh, we are going on an adventure. I'm looking at Pastor Gary going, yes, it's time. Let's just go. Let's go. And then nothing happened. Been there? And then the next guest speaker would come in, and I'd be wondering, like, you know, okay, so, like, did I not do something? Was there something going on? What was this? And the next speaker would come in, and they would go, and I would sometimes be on a line, and nobody else, sometimes it was vocal, and everybody else could hear it. Sometimes it'd be on a line, and they go, I see you standing there, and you have a suitcase that you've packed, and I just see adventure written all over you, and what God, and I'm like, okay, so now's the time. Now's the moment. It just must have been a little bit earlier before. Come on, now all of us know those situations. And it'd be like I'd go home and I'd say to Karen, you would not believe what I got on the line. And it's like, now it's going to happen. Now it's going to happen. And you're just like, you go back and things stay the same. Well, then someone, I remember it was like it was a joke, because somebody would say it then and another speaker would come in that didn't know anything, didn't see anything, didn't know anything, he wasn't there or she wasn't there before, and they'd look and they'd go, Pastor Rod, why do I see you with a suitcase? And I would be like, I have no idea. And they would be like, whoo, that was a little sharp. And it was like, I got no idea. If you could tell me why I have the suitcase, that would be wonderful, okay, in this situation. And it got to the point where if somebody started a prophetic word with me, I see you with a. I'd be like. Seriously, it's a suitcase, right? They'd be like, yeah, it's a suitcase. And they could tell that I was just like, I wasn't like, it's a suitcase. You know, it was a suitcase in there. And I remember, I remember sitting there talking to Pastor Gary. He said, okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going home and I'm literally packing a suitcase. Right? I went home and I went, maybe I just didn't do enough, okay, in this. So I went home, I packed a suitcase. Realized at the time that I didn't have as much clothes as I thought. Because I realized I had to keep dipping into the suitcase, but nonetheless, the suitcase was packed. Eventually, I unpacked the suitcase, and I just started wearing the clothes again and whatnot in there. And then when someone would come along to me and they would say, I see you with a, you see, what happened in those moments is that hope began to slip away, and hope began to be deferred. And I began to find myself in a situation where it's not that I didn't believe in prophecy anymore. It's not that I did, because I did. I can't not, because it's something that I've seen so many times in this. But I began to look up and go, well, you know what? I began to be, the word is numb to the word when it came. And then when something began to happen a little while ago, and this is probably about a year ago now, and all of a sudden I got an opportunity to do something in there. I did it numbly. And now that's not an English word for those of you that are teachers, okay, in there. But I did it in numbness. The problem was it produced numbness. It didn't produce life in that moment. And what I have to think about is you think about those people that are here in our story and in Joshua chapter 1 of really, is it now? Is it really going to happen? I mean, how many times have we heard? How many times has it been this? I mean, yes, we know that there, it seems seemingly like transition because it's 40 years and those ones are gone now and Moses is dead and we have to move on and all of these things. But in this moment, what it takes is this. It takes forgetting the past. It takes a moment, and I'm talking about this. I'm talking about that. Let me just give you these things because I want to be concise this morning in this. Isaiah 54, go to there with me. Isaiah 54, this is a beautiful passage of Scripture. Of course, there is many wonderful passages of Scripture within Isaiah. The whole word, obviously, is a beautiful word in this. But it says this, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born, break forth into singing and cry aloud." See, for me in this moment, here's what's got to happen. And I don't know how to do it any other way. So just, if you don't like it, just love me anyways. I have to be vulnerable with you and just tell you. I don't want to talk about negative things, okay, in there. But I just need you to see the reality of the situation in there. Because if somebody came up to me right now, and this is me, God beginning to deal with me in the last 6 months, and has been trying to shift me and trying to change, like in a sense of shift me early. I would say it this way. He's trying to get me into the position early of what I'm about to see come to pass. In other words, as a prophetic person, he is trying to get me into a land, to walk into a land that I'm not going to see yet, okay, in there, but that I've got to believe him at his word and step into it without having any proof at all that these things are going to be happening. And that is what it's been trying. But in my numbness, and if I'm not careful, then what did I say? I can produce numbness. I can produce, in other words, I'm not producing life in the midst of it. And that opportunity to produce life and to reproduce life, I would say it that way, comes by. And have you ever missed an opportunity? Man, that just drives me crazy when I miss opportunities. Whether or not it's the talking about even a spiritual opportunity or an opportunity financially or an opportunity, whatever it would be, I don't want to miss those God-given opportunities. But I would say it to you this way. To move into the next, what God is asking us to do, we have to do it this way. We have to be ready to break out. And here's the deal. Break out, we talked, I think, I wasn't here when Annie talked about it, but break out and break through, right? In there, in this. But break out has to do with our decision making. The breakout is not a feeling. Because you've ever had it so that you just feel good. Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. It's like you could just take on the world. It's just everything feels wonderful in this. And there's just something that is not what I'm talking about in this situation. I'm talking about to choose to break out, to choose to walk out. And this is how we're going to do it. Is anybody with me here this morning? You're walking with me. This is how we're going to do it, whether we like it or not, because I don't like these things at different times. But declarations, our tongue is the vehicle that God uses to shift us out of the garbage place that you may find yourself in into the next. Because what it also is our tongue is also the place that holds us in that place too. I mean, if you're like me, I sometimes have to grab my tongue in the middle of a conversation. People will be wondering why I'm shoving my hand in my mouth in there. It's because I have to stop this tongue from saying these things. But here's the problem. The tongue is only saying what the heart is experiencing. And so I've got to go and say, okay, Lord, as much as I don't like it, now I am going to begin to speak. I'm going to do a Romans 4:17, I believe it is. Let me just make sure here. Do a Romans 4:17 thing, yes, which is that speaking those things that are not as though they were. And for some of us that are logical thinkers, that's really hard. That's really hard, but that's what a declaration is. That's what it is to begin to speak up and say, you know, I'm getting up this morning because I got something awesome to do for God. Woo! And you sit there and you go, I didn't feel a thing when I said that. Not a blessed thing. If someone would say them up to me right now, you watch. You watch the next guest speaker that's going to come in here. They're going to look over at me and go, Pastor Rod, for some reason I see you with a suitcase. And here's what's got to happen in that moment. I have got to be with my mouth saying, now is the season, now is the time. Begin to declare with my mouth what the expectation, and my heart may have been wounded. My heart may have been, it's been so long, it's been such a delay. My hope is deferred. And so this is what I need in this moment, and it's hard, it's not easy. I wish that I could say, it's just simple, just do this. But you know what is needed right now? See, we don't, I'll just be blunt with everybody. We don't need more hope. Do you know how kind of a hope-filled church we are? This place, man, you cannot be around this place very long without getting some hope. It really is. You walk in and you begin to hear the worship, and all of a sudden you get filled with hope that there's a possibility of something transforming and changing. You should hear the word of God preached and feel like, wow, you know what? There's a possibility of hope. But hope that doesn't have this one ingredient just stays on the sense of looking, longing. And if it stays in that place of longing, it becomes deferred, and then it begins to make a heart sick. What is essential to walk, to see hope do anything, is faith. Faith is the key ingredient. The ability to jump, the ability to trust God. We had so much fun at camp this year in there and doing what I call it's the trust fall. And it's always so much fun to do it. Dorman, come in. No, just kidding. Okay, so I'm going to say, you come on up here. Yeah, it's not going to happen, right? Well, I was just going to fall towards you, right? No, so the idea in this, though, is to see kids. And I get them up there and I go, ready? Okay, fall. And I say to them, okay, you stay here. Pastor Rod's going to catch you. And then I walk like over like this. And see, it's so funny because some of these kids are just like, and they don't go, okay, yeah, let's try this. They're like, you need to be behind me. You're not that fast. Okay, in this, right? And you know, you sit there and you go, and what happens is the child will sit there and they'll fall in the fall. And what happens? The last minute they're foot goes back. Like, you just see it, you watch it. And then all of a sudden, you're used to the kids doing that, and you pick a child, and this child, you say, ready, I'm going to tell you to go. And they're like, thump. They're just gone. And you're diving across there trying to grab them and catch them because you said go, didn't you? In this. And so that is that, you know what I'm talking about? When I talk about that measure of faith, it's about the ability to go, you know what? It doesn't matter what the past. It doesn't matter. I have to choose to not live from the past as the present, or my present will become just like my past. Hear me again now. I have to live not through my past in with my present right now, or my present will not change. It will be just like my past. But in these moments, in these situations, there is declarations, and then something that, declarations are not natural. They're supernatural. Because even this is harder. You know, I laugh sometimes because I look, and if 10 years ago someone would have told me to do this, I'd have been like, you're all nuts. You're all absolutely crazy, just crazy. Someone that tells me to laugh at a lie, I'd be like, I don't, you know, that's just what would have happened in there. The truth is this, is in these moments, when things are tough, when things are rough, when things don't make sense, when you're, if you're in a place where you're trying to get up in the morning, you're trying to move beyond something, or you're trying to see if businesses, situations, or whatever it would be, has begun to weigh heavy on you, I'm going to just talk to somebody, I don't know who it is, but someone very specific in here. You wake up with a heaviness that you don't understand, and you want to get rid of it. You don't want it to be there. But in this moment, in this thing, what it takes is this, it takes not only just to get up, because if you've never been there, you won't understand. When I use this word, and I don't want to talk about this for long, I'm going to move on in here, but this word depression, if you've never experienced it, be careful what you say towards those who have, because you don't understand. I know for the longest time that I had known this particular fella, and he would just not get it. And he would say, I don't get it. Just get up and go. Just get up. Come on. Get up and go. And he would not, he had never experienced a day of depression in his entire life in there. And then all of a sudden he experienced it. And I didn't want it to happen in there, but he experienced it. And in those moments, he came over to me and he's like, I had no idea it was so hard to just simply get up in that moment. But here's what happens. If we begin to, and I'm telling you, you're not going to, see, we want, aren't we such a microwave kind of community where we think like, okay, so there's one declaration. Okay, ready, and God loves me. Beep. Should be done, shouldn't I? I should be ready to go. And there's this mentality sometimes that it's just, well, you know, I and then this becomes this, I did that. Have you ever had that? I did that. I tried that in there. But see, what it is in the moment is that when you get up and you begin to say, you know what? I declare that today is a brand new day. And I declare that I am going to do a miraculous thing today for God, no matter how I feel. I declare that I, even if I feel as empty as possible, I'm going to get up and I am going to do something miraculous by the power of God for him today. See, there is this sense within, and you say, well, Pastor Rod, you know, are you sure you've been? I have walked those roads. And it's a matter for me that breakout or breakthrough, whatever you want to call it, comes to me supernaturally when I begin to trust God. This scripture is talking about being barren, that these people that are here, these women are barren, and it's telling them to rejoice as if they've had children. See, this is this moment in this time where we begin to go, but if your brain, I'm telling you right now, if you're like me, my brain gets involved with it and I go, that makes not a hell of sense. It just doesn't understand that. My brain can't figure it out. But then I'm not supposed to live by my brain. I'm supposed to live by my spirit. I'm supposed to live by the Spirit of God within me. And I'm supposed to tell and teach my brain what to think. Do you know that my brain needs to be taught? All of ours does. We have to teach our brain what it is we're thinking. So something else, how we begin to transition and how we begin to change and we begin to see a situation change is this. And this is so very important to me. I don't like this one, by the way. I'll just say it right up front. All of you know me and Buff by now. I'm not all that happy about this one. I really wish this wasn't the case, but here it is. God's expansion season. Let's read first before I say that. Verse 2. This is what he tells them. Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwelling. Do not spare, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. Then it says, verse 3, for you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. So this is this word that begins to come to these people who they've just said are barren. They're just said they're going through an extremely difficult time. But here's the word that I say that I don't necessarily like, but it is absolutely true. God's expansion season is not tied to an explanation season. And boy, that's hard for me. God's expansion season is not tied to an explanation season. And what that means for those of you that don't understand me is that God doesn't always explain the last season before he expects me to move into the next season. I wish that I would sit down and go, okay, so lay it out, Lord. Why did this happen? Why didn't this happen? Come on now, are you with me now? Or am I the only one? Okay, in this, what's going on here? What's going on there? How come this? How come that? See, you don't, when you're walking into expansion, you're walking into that next thing that God is asking us to do, no matter how we feel, no matter what the situation is, it doesn't always come with an explanation season. And in this moment for me, I had to give up. Now, you may not like this, but I had to give up the right to have an explanation before I'd move on to the next. I had to let the need die because it was holding me stuck in that last season. It was tying me to that last season to the point where everything that I was looking through, and this is not about, my fingers aren't pointing to you. My fingers are pointing back at me, that everything I was seeing was tied, it was filtered through that last season. And I tell you, this sense of being able to, when somebody said, you know that there's somebody in our, they're not here right now, but Pastor Jay has an unbelievably charismatic personality. He's just so excited. He is. He comes, I ask Krista at times, does he wake up like this? He comes into work and he's excited. You know how you know? Pastor Gary, what do you hear in the hallways when he's walking through the hallways? Anybody else know? Whistling. He whistles through the hallways because he's excited about what God is going to do. Now, when you're with him and you're on the same page, you're like, let me whistle with you. Here we go, where we go, where we go. When you're not there, I'd like to, no, not just because that whistling can become annoying. It's like, how can you be so happy? How can you be so excited? How is this possible in the midst of this? In the midst of this that's going on. And you see, for me, it's that fact of that he has chosen to not need an explanation from the last season before he begins to believe God in the next season. And this is the place that we're all in right now. You may say, well, I don't know if this applies to me. If it doesn't, that's okay. But for the most of us in here, that's where it is. That if we give up and we say, Lord, okay, I don't need to know. I don't have to have the explanation of the last season. I just need to know your presence. I need to know the fullness of your Holy Spirit that we can begin to move into the next thing that God has for us. Because you know what? Look at somebody beside you and say, you just begun. You know, for those, I didn't understand this next feeling that I just want to talk about just for a little bit. I didn't understand what it meant until I got a little bit older. Now, I'm only 52 in there, but I'm old enough to know now presently this feeling. This feeling that when somebody says something, it used to be if someone would say, let me give you an example. Someone would say, we have a building project. And we're going to build this particular thing over here. I used to have this automatic inclination of, oh, that's going to be so exciting. As I've gotten older, that's going to be so exciting for you to go do. That's so awesome. I can't wait to see God do that through you. And you see, where am I going? I'm just moving backwards because you're going to ask me to help. And I know. And see, these things begin to happen. But in this moment, do you know that we can't do this without all of us doing it? Whatever it is that God has called us to do, that look at the person beside you and around you, and you need them. They are essential in this moment. And it's not just what God has called. See, in the midst of a dream culture, which I believe that is so healthy to have the sense of the dreams of God in our hearts, to begin to see that we're not always talking about having to die to something. We're talking about living to what God has given us. But in the midst of it is this, is still the need for a servant's heart in the midst of it all. It's this sense that the truth is, where is he? There we go. Richard, I know you, and I got to know you because you came out to help me build a racetrack that was over there in the corner. Me, my dad, you, that's how you met my dad. That moment, you and your son, that's how I met Ethan and got to know Ethan. And then the next year after that for camp and different things, but you came out. I knew that you were the guy that sat a lot of times right here. Or in this particular second, I knew your name, but I didn't really know you. I didn't know your heart. I didn't know anything about you in this way. And so the truth is that I would have said, hey, you know, it's a really good guy, but I didn't really know him. And all of a sudden we get talking out here and we get building together and we get doing something together. And this is what happens. I'm telling you, it happens all the time, is the next thing you know, he's getting to see me in a different light. And he's getting to understand why I'm building this crazy contraption out on the side for camp. Really? Can we not just stick them on tables somewhere and give them crayons? Okay, in there. That is what some people would think. But you're looking over and you're going, Pastor, I'm amazed. This is just so awesome. And I see a light begin to come on in your eye that day. And I began to get to know you more and more and more. But it's because you came out in that moment. And so many of you have done this. So many of you have done this. If you want connection, come and serve. I know it's not sometimes popular because we say, but I'm so busy and I'm so burnt out. I know what it's like to be burnt out from serving. Okay, I know what that means. But that is, again, a season. And if I could just be so blunt and so bold and just stick it out there in there. But this, we have to let that season die in this house. the sense because I understand it. I know it. I've been through it. And there's still measures where I'm not talking about us sitting there burning out from this. But if you want to have connection, come and serve with us. Come find somewhere to begin to serve, somewhere. And I'm not talking about just the fact here, because here's the deal. If you just show up to do your thing, that's not going to happen. If Richard would have asked me, okay, what do you need done? Okay, I can't come in now. And maybe sometimes that does happen, and you hear my heart in that, that's a blessing to happen as well. But really connection, and I'll give you another example, that I have now got to know Michael Delmore. We are actually friends now in this. We have gotten a friendship. You see him looking, his eyes go to the side because he's like, what is he going to say? Okay, in there. But we are more than just the Pastor Rod, you know, in this. We have a friendship in this, and there's such a connection. But we sit there and we build stuff together and we do stuff together, and that's what begins to happen. And so in the midst of these things, one of these things that's gotta die for me would be like, well, I don't want to burn out. Come on, now you know what I'm talking about, right? There's just too much sometimes in some things. But that's the last season. And if I look through the last season into the present now, I will never commit or I'll never connect again like I did in the last season. Even though it was difficult at different times in there. You know, my father-in-law, they went through, I remember him talking about it at different times. They built a church. You want to split a church? Build a church. That's what they used to sit there and say. I don't believe that. But there's so many difficult things that began to happen in those seasons for some. Because it is hard, exhausting things. But for that church, they had to sit there and go, okay, all the stuff that happened before, it's got to die. It's got to go in the past. I have to learn this four-letter word. As I say with the kids, I start to spell. I love it when I do this. It's so much fun. F, O, somebody yell it out. R, G, I, V, come on now, forgive. We have to learn to forgive. But let me ask you something. If I forgive and I treat you the same way, did I forgive? I went through a mental exercise, right? But my heart forgot to come with me. And sometimes that's where you got to start. Have you ever been there where things are so hard, so difficult? They're just so hard that something happened. And you go, you know what? I don't even know if my heart can come along with this right now at first. So I just got to go with my brain. I just got to make the choice. And Lord, I need you to help my heart, heal my heart so I can begin to walk fully in this forgiveness. This next season, I'm telling you, we're going to see some really cool things begin to happen. I was just past she doesn't have a clue about the strength of this message. But someone had emailed me a prophetic word, and I'm going to just leave them anonymous in there. But emailed me a prophetic word about what she had saw. And she saw our church. And then she saw three other buildings. And then she saw these massive sheaves of wheat. These massive, now sheaf of wheat, what that means, it's already been harvested. And it's sitting there waiting to be used. To me, it's a picture of the fact of that we have to change our mindsets in the sense of the expectation that everything we need is in the supernatural already sitting there waiting for us, and we have to be willing to step out in faith in this season. You may be tired of hearing me say this. I'm going to bring this to the close right now, but you may be tired of hearing me say this. But in a season where everybody was laying off, even churches were laying off, Pastor Gary. I mean, there was just a whole lot of layoffs in that time. I've been here now, as of last September, I've been here 10 years. And at that time, boy, nobody was hiring anybody specifically for sure. And Pastor Gary just felt in this, and the staff, those that were walking with her, the elders, they're like, we just need to jump out in faith. And they asked me to come on. And you know what began to happen in the middle of it? When it didn't happen before you asked. It happened after you asked. It didn't even happen before I said yes. It happened after I said yes. Because in the midst of it, they really could not afford to bring me on for full salary. They were going to jump in and it's just God saying to do this. But there really wasn't. So I was willing to go get a job. Even in fact, I went down and applied. I've been going to start to drive for Air Products over here. And it was just, I knew the place. I knew the system. I knew how to walk into it. Had it lined up. I actually had the job. It was mine. I have never worked for them a day in there, but that job was mine. And as I walked out, I can remember walking in, and something very strange began to happen. And for those of you that don't know, this is a good story. For those of you that do know, just walk with me for a second. But in this is what happened. In the end, the government paid for half my salary. Half my salary for 26 weeks. Now, here's what happened in the midst of this. I walked in, and this is where we still were before I came here, and I walked because we were in the midst of some transition, and we were trying to figure out some things, and I walked in, and I said, it's what, as pastors, we are given the privilege of being able to, if we transition and we go to another church, normally if you quit, let's say, a job, you don't get to have unemployment, right? But if it's a transition within the ministry in there, they allow you to get unemployment until you have this next positioning or whatever it would be that you're in. And she looked at me, and she said, so what is this thing you're looking at right now? And I told her about it. And she says, I said, it's children's ministry, and we're going to be doing a little bit of graphic design and a little bit of a few different things and whatnot at the time. And she looks at me, she goes, have you done that? I've done a little bit in the past, but boy, am I ever, I'm a little rusty. She goes, you're perfect. And I'm like, well, thank you very much. but no, you're perfect. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm perfect? She goes, you fit this perfectly. And I'm like, okay, you got to tell me now what I fit perfectly. And she's like, there's a program that we have that you can get trained if you have, this is what it is, and this company that you're going to go work for will do this. And I'm like, it's a church? I am a pastor. I've been a pastor for the whole time, for years now. Yes, but these are new things. Yes, they're new things. I haven't done this in a long time. You fit perfectly. Do you know that I argued with them? I'm serious. I argued with them whether and then the Holy Spirit said, well, you know, he said nicely, he said, shh, that's really what was going on in my head right in there, but shh, okay, quiet. And I'm like, and it's like, okay, fine. And so when literally what happened is that the government then paid for half my salary for 26 weeks. And what you had to do is you had to have a man come in, or a woman, whoever it would be at the time, come in, and they had to see whether or not the church, the business, was fulfilling their commitments and whether I was fulfilling my commitments. And so what happened is the man walked in, and I'm like, I still don't know if this is like, is this legal? I mean, is this even, like, I do not want to do something illegal. It's important to me to do the things the right way and whatnot. And the guy comes in, and I'm actually nervous. And I know I haven't done anything wrong. Have you ever had a police officer behind you? You know you're doing the speed limit, and you're still nervous. Some of you don't have a clue. That's just my life, apparently. But the idea in this is this. He walks in my office, and I'm nervous, and he says, how are you? And I'm good, good, good. He goes, let's just start with this. I have a question. I feel called into the ministry. How do you do that? Hello, what? I'm from a Mennonite background, and I really feel like I want to, but I don't really have anybody to talk to. I feel like God is telling me that I'm supposed to go in the ministry. How do you do that? And I'm like, well, aren't we supposed to be talking about those other things? I have my sheets all here. That's all good. I trust you. So, and he wants, we sat there for the whole time talking about the ministry and the wonders of the Lord. And I'm like, do you want to see the paperwork? Yes, just let me look. All good. Okay. Next time he comes back, I'm figuring for sure he's going to ask me all the details. And he sits down. He's like, I did this. What's my next step? And we literally go through and we talk about the things of the Lord. Now, he was responsible. He made sure I did all the paperwork. He made sure I did everything in there. But you see, what we are believing for right now is the miraculous to begin to happen. But if Pastor Gary doesn't step out and you know, Pastor Claude and the board at that time and miraculously say, you know what, we just feel like the Lord is saying to do this. And then if I don't sit there and say yes in the midst of it, I don't know. Maybe I'm not here. Maybe my boys didn't meet these two wonderful girls here, and I have all these beautiful grandchildren running around everywhere, and maybe it was somewhere else, certainly. But maybe, you know, my little Daniel doesn't meet this beautiful, wonderful, awesome girl, and my life, do you know how blessed I am? Unbelievably blessed in this. Now, don't think that everything is just honky-dory and it's just been easy, because in the midst of all of those things, I could tell you lots of stories. But stand with me and let me close with this. It's 12 o'clock. God's expansion season is not tied to an explanation season. And this is the last one I want to give. That was the really the second one. The third one is this. that we have to recognize that shame and disgrace are the enemy's threats. They are not part of God's plan for us. That God's intention for us is covenant protection and covenant redemption. That the enemy's intention for us is shame, to be forsaken. The words literally in the scripture in verse 6 talk about being grieved and being refused. That word literally says that the enemy is telling us that we, that at that time, calling them refuse, calling them garbage. But my God says, I will never leave you nor forsaken you. He says, I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. That's what God thinks of you. So as you close your eyes just for a second, just with you and God for this moment, maybe you're like me and, boy, some of that stuff from the past just wanted to come up and it wanted to, and even maybe a difficult situation. I know for me that a lot of the stuff was happening because of a difficult situation that happened a few years back. And it wants to come up and it wants to define who I am. It wants to define my future. It wants to tell me that it was my fault. It wants to tell me, it wants to just heap shame and guilt and all the rest of that garbage. It wants to tell me that my future is going to be okay, just okay, that God tolerates me in the midst of my, in that those situations. But the truth is, He's written my name on the palms of His hands. And every time He looks down, He begins to declare over His son, and for you it might be over His daughter, I love you. I adore you. You're not done. If you will walk with me in the, and if you will leave that other stuff behind, I will take you by the hand and I will show you. And then within a moment, I will show you all that I have for you. I hear the Lord saying this. I could find somebody else to do it. But I'd rather do it with you. I'd rather go on this journey with you. So if you're like me, kind of a private person, although your life is led in the public, you're really kind of a quiet private person. Just between you and God right now. And it's up to you, but you can begin to say, Lord, I don't want to remember those things anymore. And I don't want those things to be the influence of my next season. In fact, wash me clean. And that's you, just begin to put your hands up, and it's just you and God right now, just saying, Lord, come and wash all that stuff clean. Come wash all of those fears and wash them away. All those disappointments and wash them away. All the anger and the frustration, wash them away like only you can do. And then if you're like me, you say, Lord, fill me. Fill me with faith in this next season that I can apply faith to the hope. For some of us, it might be, Lord, I need the hope first in the midst of it, but quickly followed behind by the faith to begin to see the hope come to pass. And we declare right now that we are a people that are going to leave nothing undone. That God, we can't wait to walk with you, to do the miraculous with you, to see people's lives changed with you. So just quietly with you and the Lord, I challenge you with this. Just say, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord, use me. I hear the whispers of the enemy saying, but you don't know my circumstance. Whispering that in your ear. But you don't know what it's like. You don't know what's going on. If you only knew. And then I see my God coming along as rescuer, restorer, the one that the impossible is done every single day with him. And so I declare it over you right now that you will begin to see the impossible begin to happen in your life. And the impossible will become your daily, daily, daily experiences with him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.